This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Please don't close until we want to leave it. You and I were flying on an airplane tonight. We're going.
And I want to talk specifically about your district in Minnesota. You have over 7,000 federal workers. How have DOGE's cuts impacted your constituents thus far?
Well, so far, the two main impacts have been with the Veterans Administration. Of course, again, when we look at the memo that says they're targeting 80,000 cuts to the VA, there is no way that that doesn't impact health care to our nation's veterans. The other is USDA. We have local Farm Service Agency departments in my district where, look, my family farmers, they're making planning decisions right now. And the tariffs that the administration have gone back and forth, these across-the-board tariffs are already hurting them. And then they go to the office and their loan officers have been laid off. It's really been an impact. And again, you know, if it seems very incompetent, no one's arguing that we shouldn't look for waste, fraud, and abuse. But the way that the administration, Elon Musk, is going about this doesn't make any sense for my constituents.
So listening to Congresswoman Angie Craig there, she's a Democrat from Minnesota, say that no one's saying we shouldn't look for waste, fraud, and abuse. That's not true. It is not true that nobody is saying that. But she also said there that there's no way that cutting 80,000 employees from the VA isn't going to impact our veterans. Well, we just so happen to have our friend Congressman Mike Bost on with us, the United States Congressman in Illinois' 12th District. He also chairs the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and he's very in tune with everything that is going on. Congressman, welcome back to the show.
Well, Annie, thank you for having me on. She is wrong on saying that it will I guarantee you, because I was with the secretary yesterday morning for breakfast, and with the chairman's position, let me tell you this: I've known the chairman or known the secretary for a long time, and he's a good friend, and he has made the statement that I make all the time, and that is, remember, the VA was created for the veterans, not the bureaucracy. And the VA has had an increase in staffing over the last 10 years, about one-third, grown by one-third, not counting the budget, that has grown by a lot more than that. And instead of getting problems cured, what we have is we have more people on wait lines, more people not receiving the quality service. Now, our people are trying, but we need to do some sensible cleaning the house. Now, about the 80,000 people, That number was calculated off of a leaked memo that was given to about 25 top officials at the VA, asking them to come to the table to look for trying to reduce back down to the 2019 level. And the reason it was put out there was so that these people wouldn't come up and say, oh, in my agency, we can only cut about two people. Because you know that's not true, okay? We have to make sure, now, we will make sure that we provide and no veterans will lose their services. But here's how this lies go along. So for the first week, they told that there was going to be that the word got out that 2,000 people were being laid off. First off, right after that, they, because those were the people that were on their probationary period. So we were just stopping the hiring process there. If they were docs or nurses or frontline workers, they weren't laid off. By the time it was said and done, everything was adjusted, about 500 were laid off. Now, here I want to put into perspective for your listeners. The amount of employees at the VA is 477,000.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
You can lose 500 people in a turnover with 477,000.
Yeah.
What we're wanting to do is, and that memo was sent out to those 25 people. Unfortunately, then it was discovered that 20 of those 25 leaked it to the press. And that's another problem. So there's, it looks like there's going to be about 20 people that we know are going to be laid off. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But the secretary, after meeting with him yesterday, he explained to the members that were before him exactly. And also, so you know this, just the other day, he had a breakfast with all of the veterans, especially the large ones, veteran service organizations, the Legion, the BFW, and they had concerns, but he also talked to them about those concerns, and they believe that what we're doing is headed in the right direction to stop waste, fraud, and abuse, and not reduce the services. But right now, there's been games being played, and I'll give you an example. They found out in an email that was discovered from the previous administration that the DEPSEC, or so the second, there's two seconds in charge over there, mm-hmm. From the Biden administration, basically told in an email to make sure that you didn't hit the easy button whenever people were requesting community care. Community care is law. It is law, and it was passed in the Mission Act. So these type games have been being played at VA, and as I said, it's our goal to make sure not only the VA, but this administration is working very hard that every agency is going to become leaner. And this isn't anything new. This happened under Bill Clinton, too. And what's wild is he had, you know what he had? He had a group, but it wasn't called DOJA. It was called something else.
Yeah.
But no, they didn't throw the same fit. But he riffed, and I mean riffed a bunch, if you go back and look at those numbers.
Yeah. You know, I think you said something really important, and it's a matter of perspective, but that the VA serves the demo is out there not to serve the bureaucracy that exists in the agency, but it's there to serve the veterans. And can the veterans be better served if you pare down the size and scope of what the VA is doing right now? I guess that's the task that is at hand, and you're finding out that maybe there is a little bit cutback that can be made.
There is a lot of things, and not only that, we're now, as I just told you, we're working with the veteran service organizations so that the people that they serve. I'm a member of the American Legion. I'm not a member of VFW because I don't qualify because I was not in during a wartime situation. But each one of these organizations get the frontline comments from the veterans that the VA is serving. And if there's positive things, we want to hear about it. If there's negative things, and they're the people who are going to be able to get it to us. And believe me, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah.
Congressman Boss, this is Ryan.
Hi.
Is there more of an appetite right now for cutting than ever? Because I know that this is something, like we just said, previous administrations have talked about doing this. But now it's as if you have a little bit more license from the American people. Am I wrong?
I think that is exactly what has taken place. The voters were very clear. They wanted the border kept under control. They wanted illegals, criminals taken out of our country, returned to their home, country of origin. They are really wanting to downsize government. They want government to be efficient. They want to be energy independent, and they want to be they want our enemies to fear us and our allies to trust us. And all of these things are happening at rocket speed, I'm telling you.
Yeah, rocket speed. No pun intended there when you're talking about Elon Musk. What do you make of the blowback? I don't know how well you know him. I don't know how many times you've been around him specifically. But what do you make of the man Elon Musk and what he's doing for his country in the midst of all of these other massive companies that he owns and are being under attack?
Right. Let me say first off that he is an advisor, and the woman you had on, the representative you had on a while ago,
Andy Craig,
is giving way too much credit to Elon himself, because I guarantee you it is the secretaries and or Congress that is then following up by his suggestions, okay, on reducing the spending. He is, and his people are identifying them. So know but he's doing a good job of identifying. I'll just look at all he found in the U.S. aid. That was an agency that would tell the committees of oversight in Congress that they didn't have to tell them anything because they weren't established by Congress. This is the type of stuff that we're trying to get cleared up. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to see that we're going to reduce. Now, it'll be hard to pass it, but look, the Department of Education should go back to the states. It should go back to the states. Now, I am a little concerned if we're going to put block grant money and give it back to the state, because remember, I'm from Illinois, and I'm not sure they always handle their money the best.
Yeah.
But, you know, people, if you're from Texas, now you're pretty proud of that, I guess. But education was always supposed to be handled by the states. Remember, the department was only created. Now, are there still things that have to be done that are done by that department right now that need to be done by something else? Yeah, the distribution of the higher education dollars, Pell grants, those type things. And we can still have oversight of some committee on, you know, just our education numbers, a report card for our different states. But it doesn't have to be this huge bureaucracy that exists over there today. Now, the question is, because it will take an act of Congress to shut it down, unfortunately, if we get it through the House with the Senate's 60 vote rule, can they get it out of the Senate? I don't know. But this is what the people were wanting us to do.
Yeah, that is. It's pretty clear going into this this past election what this administration wanted to do, and they seem to be doing a lot of it. I know that there has been some national stories or stories from across the country of some town halls. And I think you've had a bit of a hyper town hall here recently. It seems very orchestrated. They want to get into these somewhat red districts and make a lot of noise. You've been doing politics long enough. What do you make of what's going on?
It's the same thing that happened in 2017 and during that time, of Trump's first time period. That's when the town halls really started going bad, and this is an organized group. It's really well organized at this time. Matter of fact, the 10 people who came in, the protesters that came in, where a meeting was supposed to be specifically about, and we directed it to dealing with the solar panels on prime farmland and to discuss that issue. There were people that maybe didn't agree with me, not the protesters, some other people who were, and they gave some really good input on making sure that the language says certain things to, you know, protect smaller farms and things like that. But we couldn't get a lot of that done because of the protesters coming in. And then whenever they were thrown, then about three of them were actually thrown out for specific reasons. I had a group of, there were a group of minor, or group of high school girls that were FFA members. And one guy got real foul, and I told him he was done and he was going to leave. And then he cussed all the way out the door. we find out that half of them weren't from my district anyway, and then they made a mistake of leaving an agenda sheet on what they were supposed to do when they left.
Can I see that? I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I can get it to you.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. You know, I understand people, if you were a big supporter of Kamala Harris, you're probably not loving the world right now. I understand that you could be frustrated, and you have an obligation to listen to your constituents, certainly, Congressman Bost. But, yep. When it's orchestrated like this, when they're not from your district, and I guess they're just trying to make it rowdy enough to make the headlines.
Yeah. And because, I've been involved with a state government and this government for over 30 plus years now at that level. And whether it was a county board meeting or whether it was state rep or whether it's here, yelling and screaming in somebody's face usually doesn't change their position.
No.
Sitting down, talking, and working through issues, that's what we do. And you know, that's the sad thing is that's the people don't see quite often when we are actually disagreeing here in Congress to work on language to find that place where obviously you got to get a majority of the votes to move a piece of legislation. We do that. But it is so amazing with your social media. Matter of fact, that group, I watched them pick up their iPhones and then all of a sudden say, well, no, this says this. Well, I don't know if you know it or not. There's a whole lot of different, if you want to support an opinion, you can find it on social media.
Yeah.
And it is a case where their only option now is to be disruptive. But that then leads to, because remember when this protest was going on before, and the protests were outside of my office, it was one of those protesters that left Southern Illinois, came to D.C., and shot Steve Scalise and other members of the ball field.
Belleville. Yeah.
Yep.
You have to take it seriously. The last thing I want to ask you about, and we've been talking about this a little bit, and there's a lot of communication going on, you know, with our chat that exists with our show every day, and they're talking a lot about Jasmine Crockett. And, you know, when you're looking at decorum right now, I'm always kind of fascinated by, like, the gentle lady from Illinois or the gentleman from Missouri. Like, people don't talk like that anymore, but there seems to be a keyed, focused effort in Congress, in government, to try to keep the decorum at a certain level so that the business can get done. And that just doesn't seem the way of the Democrats right now.
Right. Let me tell you, the reason it is a decorum like that is it is actual the House rules. The House rules are less strict in the state legislature, but in the U.S. Congress, it is very, very clear. Matter of fact, there is, and I spend a lot of time in the chair, but for instance, if they actually say something bad towards the president, whichever president it's been, there is a script that is immediately handed to me. The members are reminded to not engage in personalities of the president, and then they can actually have their name if somebody moves like they did with Green to have a. Have them stricken and have them taken down, they can be censured. And so there are strict rules. Unfortunately, yes, we do see the other side blowing up and breaking those rules. But once they're out of the chamber, it even gets worse.
Yeah.
We had the same thing, I guess, with Corey when she was there. And Maxine Waters has been good at doing this for years. Mm-hmm. And Al Green, people saw that. So there is a list of people. We've had them on our side, too.
Sure.
Joe Wilson was always famous for screaming out in Obama's speech, "You lied." And so we still harass him about that because it kind of, you know, because he's not that type of guy. He just let it go. But it has got steadily worse. And some of the districts encourage their people to be that way. And it's sad because we've still got the best government in the world. We really do. It needs to be a smaller government, but
the best government in the world.
Well, you're working on it. That's what we understand. Congressman Boss, thank you. Like I said, if I can see that agenda, I'd just really like to do that. That'd be fun. send it to me. Thank you for coming on with us today. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Congressman Boss, Illinois 12th District. Whoops.
We've got the greatest government in the world. We just want to see it a little smaller.
Yeah. Yes, we do. quick break. When we come back, the YouTube live chat poll, haven't hammered this one too much today. Should Congress pass a law banning pharmaceutical commercials? Yes or no? This was going to be the poll question I had up in my mind yesterday, and then all the signal stuff started to blow up. So we asked the signal question yesterday. So I'm putting this one out here today. Is it across all types of entertainment?
You cannot avoid it.
I mean, it's definitely
everywhere.
A huge thing in news. So let's talk about that when we come back. What if it caused, you know, corporate media to just go kaput? Does it change your mind? Let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Should Congress pass a law banning pharmaceutical commercials? Yes or no? We'll be right back. Let's pretend we're